produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Verse 4, and that said, Jesus said in that passage, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For night cometh, when no man can work. So that's John 9:4. That's the doing it now. Do it now. And then we have do it big. That is derived from Luke chapter 12, verse 48. For unto whomsoever much is given, him shall be much also required.
Amen.
And so God has blessed us with much, and God is now going to require much of us.
Amen.
You can start the clock now, brother.
Amen.
If you recall last week, some of you all were here, and we had a wonderful time last week, but the Lord blessed us and met us here last week. And we dealt with the idea, and I'm hurrying along, that heaven has advised us, the scriptures have informed us that God does not need big people to do big things.
Amen.
No, God doesn't need big people. He doesn't need great people to do great things.
Amen.
God doesn't need important people to do important things. God doesn't need influential people to do influential things.
Amen.
God uses ordinary, everyday people.
Amen.
And he uses those who will be available unto him.
Amen.
The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, a paraphrase that says that Paul says that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's what the Apostle Paul says. He goes on to say that the weak things God uses to confound the wise, the base things of this world, the despised things hath God chosen. And why did he do that? He tells us in that verse 29, he did so that no flesh would glory in his presence. So that when God does great things, it has to always go back to him. It wasn't our money. It wasn't our network. It wasn't the bank. It wasn't anybody else. God made it happen. Scripture says, not by might, Brother Collins. It's not by power, nor is it by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
God does not need big people to do big things.
Amen.
But we do know that God is a God of big things.
Yes,
God is a big God.
Yes, he is.
And I believe you all know that and can affirm that our God is a big God. Astroscientists, they insist that there must be other life in the cosmos. When they look at the expanse of space, they say this is too much space just to have inhabitants only on Earth. They are confounded by that idea. because it is limitless. It is, when I was doing my study this week, even our galaxy, let alone our solar system, but our solar system is vast. Our galaxy is even larger. And then there is a larger cosmos beyond that.
Amen.
That we can't even see the ends of. We'll never see the ends of.
Yes, sir.
And this cosmos, it would appear that there has to be something else, because this is too much space just for humans alone.
All right.
The astrophysicists say that there are more stars than there are sand pebbles.
All right.
Little sand particles. There are more stars in space than there are sand particles and sand pebbles on every beach in the world.
All right.
That's a unbelievable vast number that we cannot even conceive. Many would say that there has to be somebody else out there, because this is just too much space. But many people have the wrong perspective. The Bible tells us very plainly in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The reason it's so big is because it's the handiwork of God. It displays his vastness. It displays his grandeur. It displays how big and how mighty our God is. And with all of that space, Brother Burnside, listen to me, heaven is still too small.
Amen.
It goes beyond we can ever even think about going that far out. Never could we make it. And still, the heavens, the cosmos, the universe is too small for God. We serve a big God. God is even outside of that expanse, which is innumerable, incalculable, for us to even consider how large it is. The challenge, brothers and sisters, is not that God is a small God. God is a big God. And God does big things. And the challenge to us, and the challenge to big, as we spoke of last week, the challenge of big is little. And many of us that are sitting here right now have too little vision. We have too little faith. We have a too little God. Many of us think God is just a little higher than us. No. God is as different, and his thoughts are as different from us than the heavens are from the earth. It's just a vast difference in what God knows and how God acts and what God does. And we sometimes just have God as a big man in the sky. God is God all by himself. And the challenge is, we have a too little God. We have too little vision. And we have, as Christ told the disciples on many occasions, O ye of little faith. We only need to look at God and recognize how big and how great our God is. And the issue we brought up last week was that there is too little ambition among many believers. Many people don't have a sight that goes any further than down the street. Some may go around the corner, but everybody seemingly stays right in the neighborhood. God got more than just right here for us.
Amen.
I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, even the apostles, as they were disciples in Mark chapter 10, this is where we ended last week. Mark chapter 10, verses 37 through 45. You remember I told you about how that the sons of thunder, that being James and John, their mother came to Jesus, asking Jesus to allow her sons to sit one on the right side of him in his glory and one on the left. And the other 10, got angry because they heard the conversation evidently, and they got upset about what they talked about only because they were not in front to first ask Jesus for this same consideration. They were mad because they didn't ask him first. They had the same consideration. And Jesus, if you'll watch closely to the text, they were vying for position, wanting to be significant, wanting to be somebody special. But listen, Jesus never rebuked them. They had great ambition, and Jesus never brought their ambition back down.
Amen.
Jesus did not rebuke them. But what did Jesus do? He redirected and he reinformed their ambition. He told them, if you want to be great, you must first be last.
All right.
If you want to be the chief of all, you've got to be the servant of all. He didn't say you couldn't be that. He said, but if you want that, you got to be useful in the kingdom. And by doing so, you must first back yourself back and stop pushing everybody down. Stop trying to climb the ladder of success and knocking everybody out of the way. You don't do that. We don't do that spiritually. The Bible tells us that the way we become great is we serve others. We allow others, we prefer others even above ourselves. We forgive others, those who have done us wrong. We have to take ourselves down and take ourselves back so that God can lift us up. The Bible says God resisted the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in new season.
Yeah. Yeah.
You must first go down.
That's the word.
If you want to go up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You must first come out.
Yeah.
If you want to go in.
Yeah.
All right. If you want something to come to you, you got to first give it out.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot receive until you give. And that is the economy of Jesus, which is counterintuitive to the regular thoughts of this world. And many people operate as if they are citizens of this world. But you and I, look at somebody and say, I'm a child of God.
Child of God.
Look at somebody on the other side and say, I'm a child of the King. So I've got to act, see, we've got to act according to how our Father has instructed us. We can't do it like the world. We must do it like the Father has instructed us. And the way we get ahead is by serving others. So their ambition was redirected. Their ambition was reinformed. And our ambition must be holy ambition. It must be sanctified ambition. If we are to do big things, and we must do big things, brothers and sisters, as I hurry to a close, we must do what we do the right way, at the right time, and for the right reasons.
Amen.
The right way,
right way.
At the right time,
right time,
for the right reasons.
Amen.
Let me say that again if I may.
Come on.
We must do it the right way at the right time for the right reason. Otherwise, no matter how grand or great whatever we may accomplish in this world, it will be naught if we don't do it the right way at the right time and for the right reason. Our mother would lift her melodious voice sitting behind the piano, and she would sing this song sometimes. You may build great cathedrals,
all right.
Come on now.
Large or small.
Yes.
You can build skyscrapers,
all right.
Grand and tall. She would sing, you may conquer all of your failures of the past. But this is it. But only what you do for Christ will last. Doesn't matter what you do in this world, and many people have done great things, but they did it for the wrong reason. They did it with wrong ambition. Brothers and sisters, the only admonition this morning is this. Brother Terry, I'm doing pretty good. I'm trying to curtail myself, but I'm feeling good this morning. Amen. I got a Holy Ghost sweat going on, and I feel good this morning. Amen. I'm just getting my voice good now. Amen. It's time for you to sit down. Y'all need to sit down. I want to speak. What did you say, kid? Okay, all right. This is the only admonition for us this morning. We are warned against, listen, using worldly measurements of success as the metrics for spiritual effectiveness. Let me say it again. I've worked on this for a while. We are warned. We're warned against using worldly measurements. The measurements of success, the worldly measurements of success, as the metrics for spiritual effectiveness.
Amen.
What am I saying? We, many times, evaluate how well we are doing by what the world says is success.
All right.
And we as Christians must not be caught up in the current of this world. We have to have another kind of mind. We have to have our mind renewed by the word of God, where we must change the way we think, and our minds need to be sanctified by the word of God. And because the world will tell you that in order to be successful, you got to have this, 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 and this. And you can't have this, 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 and this. But the world will tell you one thing when God will tell you something else. Well, I just want to tell you, brothers and sisters, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. Though God's plans and desires are always big. Everybody say always big.
Always big.
God's plans and desires are always big. He's shown us by his cosmos, by the universe, how God is a big God. You remember what he did? He told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. That's what he told him.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless all that you have. I'm going to bless all nations. I'm going to bless all kindreds, all peoples, and all tongues because of you.
Yes, sir. All right.
Abraham only had one son. Barely had that one. Yeah. He had him in his old age, and he almost jeopardized all of regeneration and all of repentance and all of forgiveness and all of soteriology. He almost jeopardized everything by going into the handmaiden of Sarah. But God didn't cut him off. God gave him another chance, and he brought forth Isaac. God told him, says that in blessing, this is what God says in Genesis chapter 22 verse 17. He says that in blessing, I will bless you. And multiply it. I will multiply thy seed. He says, he gave an illustration. As the stars of heaven. And as the sand which is upon the seashore.
Yeah.
God says, I'm going to give you that many descendants.
All right.
Many people believe that there's just going to be a handful of us going to heaven. I got news for you. God, in his own word, says, I'm going to supply, in Revelation, he said, I'm going to supply a number that no man can number. That's going to be my heritage. That's going to be my people. And God, even with all of his bigness, still warns us that we must not have a worldly pursuit of being big. That's my admonition to our church this morning. And I got one text I need you to read before we go. 1 Timothy, will you turn there with me? Very quickly here. And we're going to go into our installation in just a moment, but that's the admonition. If we're going to do things big, we've got to do it God's way. Got to do it in God's timing. And we got to do it with God's ambition, God's reasons for doing it. Now, this is something that we need to grab hold of because this is a warning from the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I don't know if I told you the chapter or not. 1 Timothy chapter 6.
1 Timothy 6.
Look what it says. The Apostle Paul writes, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Mm-hmm. "For we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain," that's what Paul says, "we can carry nothing out." Do you believe that, saints? I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many shoes you got, how many suits you got in the closet, how many hats you got, how many head racks you got, how many rings you got, how many necklaces you got. You go leave it here. Somebody else will be wearing your shoes. Somebody else will be under your table. Somebody else, if you leave a wife behind, or somebody else will be with you. Come on here, somebody.
Amen.
You can take nothing with you.
Nothing.
That's what he says. Be sure of this very thing, that you can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Amen.
And then he goes on. There's some more that I wish I had time to deal with, but he's talking about riches, and we have to be careful of how we attain what we attain.
Come on.
We can't take it with us. We can't do with it always, because one day it's going to either leave you or you're going to leave it.
That's right.
One or the other. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, while God is doing a big work, God also, by me this morning, is warning our church that while we want to do big things, we want to do it now, and we want to do it again. But we must do it God's way. He says in this text that Paul just wrote, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Many people believe if I get great gain, I'll be contented. That is not the case. If you get everything you want, if you don't want what you got, you still ain't contented. Some folks got more than a lot of us. We got a lot of the things that we possess. There are people in the world got a whole lot more, but they are troubled much more greatly than we are. Sometimes it's just good to, and we're not sometimes, it's good according to the scriptures to wear this world as a loose-fitting garment.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Because if it leaves you, some people will lose their mind if they lost all the money they had. But I know I got somebody in here that know what it feels like to, you know, and you ain't got nothing, so I'm going to lose something. Amen.
Come on.
We got to live it, yeah, true enough. But look, man, if I lose it, I believe I can go back and get it. Amen.
Come on,
somebody in here has had to eat peanut butter and crackers.
Yes, sir.
Come on now. Somebody has to eat ramen noodles. Y'all don't hear about this. Some of us had to eat vienna sausages and all of that. But the Lord provided for us, and He's always made a way.
Thank you, Lord.
I ought to have a witness here. He's always made a way. Because we have gain does not mean that we will be contented.
Amen.
But the Bible says godliness with, what is it? With contentment, what is it? Is great gain. If I live holy and I thank God for what I have, I thank God for what I got.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for where I need them.
Yes, sir.
I thank God, Brother Kim, for what I got.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for the little I have.
Yes, sir.
The few little rags that are in my closet, I thank God. The little shoes I got in my closet, they might be almost, you know, I almost got a hole in them, but I can put them on and I ain't got to go nowhere barefooted. I thank God. Can somebody say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
I thank God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the warning. Even though we want to do things big, we've got to be careful.
Amen. Gotta be careful.
That the way we acquire it must be God's way. It must be. We've got to do it. It's got to be in God's time. You can't rush God.
Can't rush God.
They used to sing a song like that. The old people used to say to the men, women, you can't hurry God. And I thought about it right at the border. You just have to wait. You got to trust him and give him time. No matter how long it may take. He's a God you can't hurt. He'll be there. No, he will. And he said like this, he may not come when you want him. Sometimes you take somebody by the hand and shake it like you've been ready to shake it off and tell him he's always right on time. I want to have a witness here. I said he's always on time. That's why we got to wait on God. We can't rush what he's trying to do. Sarah and Abraham tried to get in front of God and jeopardize salvation for all of us. We cannot rush God. Sister Mary, he takes his time. Seems like it's taking too long. I'm going to have somebody get this time. Seems like it's been taking too long, God. I wish you'd hurry up and fix this thing, God. I wish you'd get over there and get them, God. Come on. It's taking too long, Lord. I wish you'd come on and handle the business now, but we can't hurry, God. We've got to be patient. We've got to wait on the Lord and be good church. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. So this is the admonition. He looked at his watch now. But listen, this is it right here. I'm finished. It's possible. Listen, church, I'm finished. It's possible.
Possible.
It's possible to be big and to be cursed. We don't want that in our church. If it means that we'll go other places and we'll do other things, if God blesses us, we don't want to be blessed like that.
Amen.
Because we need the Lord wherever we go.
Everywhere.
The Lord told the children of Israel, he says, I know what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't plant.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to bless you over and over again. This is what's going to happen to you. Be sure, he said, be sure and be careful that you don't turn away from me. And do you know what they did when God blessed them? They turned away from him. They turned away from him. The question is, can God bless you? Can God? Some people, Brother Marvin, will get blessed. You've heard me say it before. God blessed them with a new car. And instead of coming to church in that new car, they'll stay home and on Sunday morning and watch it. God blessed somebody with a new house. And instead of coming to church, worshiping and praising God for what he did for them, they'll stay at home and rearrange the furniture. Praying, fasting for God to send them a spouse. And instead of coming to church and blessing God for what he gave them, they stay at home. And you know what they do. Stay at home, amen, and play a little while, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Let's keep it real.
Yes, sir.
We got to not allow for God's blessings to be a cursing unto us.
Yeah.
We won't be from God.
Yeah. Amen.
But we got to be careful.
Careful.
There's a warning. We got to be careful. Here it is. Everything big ain't blessed. And everything little ain't cursed.
Amen.
Everything big isn't blessed. And everything little isn't cursed. It's not. The Lord Jesus, by any metrics, any worldly metrics, would be considered his ministry and his life a failure. An abject failure.
Amen.
He had crowds, and those crowds dwindled all the way down to 12. And Jesus turned around and asked them, are you going to leave me to?
Amen.
And at his point of most need, they left him. Only one stayed with him, that was John. The rest of them left him. By every account, Jesus died an ignominious death.
Amen.
Buck naked on a cross. They were gambling for his clothes. He was beaten all night long, slapped in the face. His beard was plucked out of his chin. And by every metric, Jesus would be considered worldly, in a worldly fashion, he would be considered an abject failure. But there was never a blessed man like our master.
Yes.
Never a more miraculous man than our master.
Amen.
Never had the world seen anybody like our Jesus. But you have to have spiritual eyes to see the blessedness of him. Now I'm telling you, you can be big and little still got you. You can be big and be cursed. And everything big ain't blessed.
That's right. Say that, Pastor.
And if we get big, and I know God is in the big business.
Amen.
I know he is. But if we get big, it has to be God's way. It has to be in God's timing. And it has to be for God's reasons in the name of Jesus. So here he is. This is the addendum. I'm closing. Do it big. Do it. Listen, I'm just going to do it big part. This is the addendum to the do it big. We know we want to do it now. But let me just say, do it now. Do it big. But here it is. Do it right. Do it right.
Yes.
You can get big by doing wrong.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But we want to do it
right.
Amen. Be holy. Amen. Be righteous. Yes. And allow God to bless it.
Yes.
We can't rush it. We can't make it up. We can't fabricate it. We can't make it happen. God has to do it. And in due time, everybody say in due time.
In due time.
In due time, God will perform his word.
Yes, he will.
He'll do it.
Amen.
He may not do it in front of us. He may not do it while we're here. But God will perform his word. Abraham only saw Isaac. But the Lord blessed him. Physically, all Abraham ever saw was one son. The son of promise, that being. He had Ishmael, but he only had one son of promise. That's all he saw, his physical, natural eyes. But God blessed him to have descendants that were more than the stars of the sky.
Amen.
And the sands on the seashore.
Amen.
God will bless you.
Amen.
He'll bless you. So we must do it now. We must do it then. But we got to do it
right.
Everybody say, do it right.
Do it right.
Point at somebody and tell them, do it right.
Do it right.
Point across the aisle and tell somebody on the other side of the church, do it right. Do it right.
Do it right.
Father, in the name of Jesus, how we thank you for your word and your admonition and your command unto us. We want significance, absolutely, Lord. But we don't want to get it the wrong way.
Yes,
sir. Everything else fails in time. And if it doesn't fail in time, it'll fail in eternity.
Yes,
so God, we're asking that you would bless us.
Yes, Lord.
To have spiritual eyes.
Yes.
And not measure our success by worldly measurements.
Yes.
Some things that will grow, we won't see it.
Yes.
Wives turning to their husbands and husbands turning to their wives. Children running to their parents saying that they're sorry and loving them. Some things we won't see.
Yes.
But God, you can give the increase.
Yes.
It may not be in physical, tangible ways of measuring.
Help us.
But you will be one that will stand over your word to perform it.
Yes.
And I believe in my spirit, Lord, that you said you're going to bless this church.
Yes, sir.
And a remember of this church.
Yes, sir.
Abundance, but we want it right.
Yes, sir.
Blessings, but we want it right.
Yes, sir.
We want more.
More.
But we want it right.
Yes, sir.
Let us do what you have called us to do, and let us do it right. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it. And we believe you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all who agree shout, thank God.
Thank God.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.